currently 46 degrees in Bedford and Lynchburg, 45 in Amherst, 43 in Danville, 50 in Salem, 46 in Roanoke.
We always enjoy having him on the radio show to comment about politics, especially Virginia politics. Dr. Bob Denton, director of the School of Communication up at Virginia Tech. Dr. Bob, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well. Doing very well, thank you. But now I need to just say 30 seconds worth of something.
Okay.
I've been listening this morning.
Okay.
Folks, we've had people in our congregation who got COVID and passed away. Hmm. We've had relations that passed away from COVID. No, they were not in their 70s and 80s. They were in their 30s, 40s, 50s. No, they did not have cancer. They were relatively healthy, maybe asthma, maybe a little bit overweight. And you know that 50% of those with COVID have long-term effects. Matter of fact, I've got two faculty members who still cannot taste anything.
Wow.
And had the weirdest odor sensation.
Yeah, yeah.
Please, please, think seriously about getting the vaccine, if not for yourself, but for your loved ones. Mm. We've had husbands lost, and there are the wives with young children. Anyway, it just breaks my heart for the last year and a half. And so I'm sorry to chime in on that.
No, but,
I'm glad you did.
I just really feel like saying that.
I thank you for saying it. I've been beat up a little bit over my stance, and that's okay. You know, I put that target on myself, and we say it because we do care about people for sure. So, well, we're glad you're joining us today. I have to ask immediately, did you see the Terry tantrum?
Well, I did not, and I have to tell you, the first time that I, quote, heard about it was right this morning in terms of you playing it.
Right.
And I tell you what, I'd make an ad out of that, and start running it very quickly if I was the Youngkin campaign, for sure.
Yeah. Are you surprised? I'm really surprised at seeing this out. This is not your typical Terry McAuliffe.
It's not. And what it shows is he's scared, he's nervous, he's frightened. That is not Terry McAuliffe. Terry McAuliffe usually would go right in. I mean, he enjoyed the face-to-face, the confrontation.
Sure.
Very self-assured individual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is just, and even the handler. I mean, you don't, my goodness, you don't do that. I mean, it's shocking to me. He's more mature than that, more experienced than that. And really, I was surprised because that was the first time that I had heard that particular exchange. My goodness. That is surprising, but it also does give a sense, a little bit of desperation, a little bit of concern, which the polls do tend to indicate that they certainly should be concerned.
Yeah. I mean, even outside the state, I've got my brother in Florida checking in on things because this has sort of turned into a national race. My friend out in Colorado texted me last night and said, do you think Youngkin's going to win? And I said, well, things are trending that way, certainly. And we're hopeful, but, you know, this is it's so funny when a Republican gets within the margin of error, how Democrats just start, like you say, doing things that are uncharacteristic of what they've done before.
And certainly when you look at the enthusiasm, I mean, this is all about turnout.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the larger the turnout, the more it favors Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
But they clearly, the polls reflected more enthusiasm among Republicans. And of course, now Democrats bringing in Obama, Stacey Abrams, in terms of their concern about the African-American vote, Pelosi, Jill Biden. And I think right before the election, I think they're going to have to use their card in hand, which is even Joe Biden. They've got to get out their base.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, with early voting, now that's one of the four factors of this election. It's the first time we've had such a wide 40-day wide open window, certainly in the gubernatorial race.
Yeah.
We know as of, as of the 19th, about 60% of the Democrats, of the early voting, 60% are Democrat, voted the Democrat, 40% Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans need to have a strong showing in that early vote as well. So anyway, that's the unknown factor that's going to impact the turnout is the early voting. And remember, in terms of with Gillespie, they were within the margin going in. And Gillespie right. kind of thought maybe their internal showed they had a chance of winning, but winning with less than 2%. Mm-hmm. Of course, he lost by 9%.
Right.
So it is so sensitive in terms of the turnout and by category. And I think that you can tell by the ads, the response ads that the McCullough people are doing, mm-hmm. it certainly shows even their internals, it has to be very, very close.
Yeah. Yeah. I do you think there's, maybe you can help me with this, the harvest balloting or ballot harvesting, is that taking place this go around? Or has that been tightened up? I know we have a liberal, tilt in the state house because of the way the delegates and the state senate work out. But there's been a lot of states across the country, a lot of them with Republican governors and legislatures trying to tighten up on some of this funny business that goes on in elections. Do you see that being a possible problem, or is it even affecting this race?
Virginia certainly had some electoral reforms by this legislature, but not to the extent that other states in terms of ballot harvesting and some of those things. However, early voting, drop box, mm-hmm. Souls to the polls yeah. kind of activities, Sunday voting, those are things that certainly perhaps broaden the opportunities where people might generate some concern. I mean, we want everyone who's eligible to vote.
Yeah.
But we want to have confidence in that vote. And
right,
so
exactly.
I do not back off the notion of concerns about election integrity. That's not fraud. It's integrity.
Right.
How confident am I in terms of the voting and the voting process?
Yeah.
And I think that's a legitimate kind of concern. But thankfully in Virginia, we do not have the wide latitude that some of the other states have.
You know, the video came out over the weekend, the 300 churches that Kamala Harris was in, and I found this after the show yesterday.
To the polls,
yes.
Mark. Get
exactly.
the terminology right.
I found this audio after the show. I thought I found it during the show, but there was a point where Mitt Romney was accused on the Senate floor by Harry Reid that he didn't pay his taxes, and Harry Reid never proved it. But in a post-interview after Harry Reid was already out of office, he said in an interview to CNN, he didn't win, did he, in response to that question. Hmm. And I was surprised he even let that out. I kind of brought that up yesterday because even if Kamala Harris and Terry McAuliffe get in trouble and Terry wins, for example, there'll be kind of that said in the back rooms, maybe, well, Terry won, and they'll get a slap on the wrist. Do you see any repercussions at all coming for the McAuliffe campaign with this endorsement to all the churches?
No. No. I have to tell you, I mean, the outside and some of the advertising, the more negative, as I said in the past, the more negative, the closer the election potential, the more negative the campaigns become and more aggressive. And it's going to be very difficult to do a causal in terms of anything that the vice president said in within the context. And so I just don't see any chiding about that activity. And it is for them about motivating the base, mm-hmm. making sure they get out the vote and the desperately needs the African-American vote.
Yeah.
Terry McAuliffe could get 90% of the African-American vote, but will the numbers be sufficient? Will it be at that representation of, rather than 13, will it be higher in the 18 to 20% range is what he needs? And so that's critical for them. When it is very close, and I've done all I can do, and I'm not over 50%, remember, I have to now get you to vote against the other person.
Right.
And so you're not voting for, and it appears that the difference here of that 5 or 10%, and right now, Youngkin is winning among self-identified independents, mm-hmm. which is very important. That becomes very critical in terms of how you play this, getting to vote against someone rather than for the individual. And so that's part of the strategy, mm-hmm. but it's just going to intensify, especially in terms of direct mail. It's going to get worse.
Right.
The most distortion is in the direct mail pieces.
Okay.
Outright lies, quite frankly.
Right.
We had a listener who texted in and said, what percentage of Virginians do you think really trust our elections? Do you think there's still enough election integrity? Because I think that's the most discouraging thing mm-hmm. when people think about not participating in the process.
Well, so the polls that we've seen focusing in terms of Virginia, it depends upon how they ask the question. And again, if I say on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you? At the national level, I have concerns, and I'm only at about an 8. And especially when I look at 2020. Now, this is has nothing to do with Trump. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying in terms of the process, I do not like ballot harvesting. I don't think you should have 90 days or 60 days
right.
When they can even start voting before there's interaction, debates, or what have mm-hmm. you. I don't like automatically mailing out ballots. That just has all types of opportunities.
Right, it's rife with
so
problems,
even myself,
yeah.
I'm only at an 8. Within Virginia, hardcore who says, really, it's probably about 28 to 30% or so that would have concerns expressed in terms of voting integrity.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, it's important. You hear the other side talking about disenfranchisement constantly because that works, again, on fear. But, you know, we're talking about election integrity. There's got to be a certain level of that, or those that have integrity will say, what's the use? And I hate to see us ever get there, because everybody should, you know, that's legally a citizen, should participate in this process.
Oh, absolutely. And look, if you say, okay, voter ID is problematic, okay, how is it problematic to verify who's voting
right.
has actually won that person or a valid? So instead of a driver's license, it can be a utility bill to verify address. In other words, you can address some of the concerns so that one is not disenfranchised. We've also got to bring some common sense to it.
Sure.
And one thing that we tend to forget is that voting is a right, but it's also a privilege from the standpoint that I need to be informed, I need to keep up with it.
Sure.
Why would you force someone who doesn't vote? My youngest son, who now is middle-aged, he didn't start voting until in his mid-20s later.
Right.
And I always ask why. And he said, Dad, I'm not informed enough to make a decision, and it's not relative yet. Now, once you
how
got a job
refreshing.
And started looking at things, okay, all right, now, yeah, you better start chiming in.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was the legitimate reason not to vote. Why just vote? You have the
absolutely.
Right to vote,
yeah.
but you don't have to vote
yeah.
if you don't feel right about it. And so he taught me a little lesson there. And I get a little bit disturbed when I see on campuses registering voters, and you get a free bottle of Pepsi Cola or something
right.
if
yeah.
you're registered to vote.
or a marijuana gummy bear.
Well, yes, that's even better.
Oh, wow.
Dr. Bob, we always enjoy having you on the show. Thank you so much for always being available to us and our listeners as we muddle our way through this election, which is just, you know, within 2 weeks away here. It's just crazy to think that it's going to happen. And we'll check in with you a couple more times until then, okay?
Oh, absolutely. It's always my pleasure. Thank you for your kindness.
Yes, sir. Dr. Bob Denton, he is with the School of Communications of Virginia Tech. And we're always enjoying his company here on The Morning Jam.
Janet Rose and Mark Lamb. Common Sense Talk Radio. We are The Morning Jam.
Treat me right.
Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
Rises, he sits by his fire, thinking about women and glasses of beer, and closing his eyes as the doggies retire. He sings out a song which is soft but it's clear, as if maybe someone could hear.
I can sing a little like James, just a little.
I don't think
good
so.
Good night, you moonlight lady.
Not even close.
Rock-a-bye, sweet baby James.
I don't think so.
I thought it was okay.
That's the song that I sang to my children
really?
Every night.
Oh, good for you.
That's what's on here.
Oh, it is. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So I'm playing some James Taylor songs, and that has nothing to do with taking a shower. I was able to take a hot shower because after 5 days, the plumber came over and... I got my hot water heater just the other day and got it in place, and he hooked it up, and I said I would find James Taylor songs that go along with it. That one goes along with it because it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, sitting by the fire.
I thought you might play
drinking a beer.
Mexico.
No, I didn't. I didn't get to Mexico.
No.
But something happened in Mexico yesterday.
Yeah, it did.
Or today. Was it today? That the story? I mean, we had a banner pop up on our computers. You know, mine said Brian Laundrie arrested by police, and then you said,
I was like,
that's
I
not quite
think
accurate.
So, yeah.
No,
yeah, that's clickbait right there.
Yeah,
is what
it
that
was.
Is.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there's some lookalikes
in Mexico.
And I know that's what your story said.
Yeah, mine says a lookalike hotel door got kicked in by U.S. Marshals.
Oh, Lord.
I think I.
And what's his name?
I don't know. I don't know if it gives this guy's name or not.
Because I have one about a man named Severvin Beckworth, who's from New York.
Okay.
And he was mistaken for Laundrie early in October.
Right.
And he has since altered his appearance because he doesn't want it to happen again.
Wow.
So he's a business graduate from Clemson.
Okay.
And recently returned after being in the Peace Corps. I mean, this guy is he's like a Boy Scout.
Wow.
And
what was his name again?
Severin Beckwith.
Okay.
Is that him?
That's the same one. It's
okay,
online.
So it is.
Yeah.
If there's more
Boy,
than
he
one.
He must really look like him. Or did.
Yeah, he was ambushed and arrested at gunpoint.
Wow.
After someone tipped him off.
Huh.
That is terrible.
Well, you know what's good is that they're taking this hunt for this guy seriously.
But now this says that they were at a lodge on the Appalachian Trail in North Carolina.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'm looking at the wrong. There was several stories that popped up of a lookalike. Hang on if my computer would cooperate.
That is really, that's very, I mean, you would not want to be looking like the most wanted man in America right now, I would say.
This one says, has Brian Laundrie been arrested in Mexico? Question mark. Truth about the theory over fugitives' location.
Oh, okay.
Then the other one's the Appalachian Trail.
A lot of people do think that that's where he's heading.
Yeah. And then this one.
Which shouldn't be hard to spot. Most people are trying to get out of Mexico.
Right, right.
So if you've got one little bald dude trying to get in,
right,
that's probably him.
Yeah, it's probably him.
Yeah, but this guy's grown his hair out. He's grown a beard.
Oh, wow.
He's like, he's probably going to start wearing a shirt saying, I'm not Brian Laundrie.
Ah!
You know?
It says he's been found in Cancun, Mexico, or thought he was found anyway in Cancun.
You know they're getting all kinds of tips all over the places.
Just...
I listen to a lot of podcasts. You know this about me. And I discovered this week that apparently people who try to change their appearance or they go on the lam or especially if they're narcissistic and have big egos.
Right.
They don't pick names like John Smith or, you know, Steve Jones something like that.
They go elaborate.
They go with these elaborate Wolfgang Swinson Borgachev. Right. I mean... I was like, are you kidding?
They better have an accent.
And then they gave like several examples of people who had done this.
How about that?
I was like, why wouldn't you just go with Bill Jones or John Smith or something? No.
I probably picked somebody I went to high school with. So that name would already be familiar in my head.
Art Vandelay, maybe. I worked with a guy who used Art Vandelay, which if really? You're not a Seinfeld fan, that was George's alter ego, was Art Vandelay.
Okay.
And he went through an entire conference with his work. And
really?
With Art Vandelay
on his thing.
That
honest.
Way you could identify the fans from Seinfeld.
Wow.
Easier that way.
I don't know why the last few weeks they've had us wearing name tags at church. I guess so we can get to know people's names.
Oh, okay.
So I forgot and I had to go in and get my milk. We pick it up down at the White Hart.
Uh-huh.
So there's like tons of people. Hey, Mark. Hey,
like,
Mark.
Hey, Mark. You're like, wow.
I don't know these people.
Everyone knows me.
I got the stupid thing still on.
That's great.
And, it, you know, I'm wearing a colorful shirt and then there's a name tag. It's just
Hi,
obviously.
Hi, my name is Mark. Well, you know, it is National Make a Difference Day coming up this weekend. And one of the things that you can make someone feel special is using their name.
This is true. So, yeah, we had that earlier.
And how did you feel when someone called you by name? Did you like it?
I was trying to figure out where I knew him from.
But number, right, so you're panicking internally.
Yes, exactly. Talking about fear earlier,
and
I was
by
fearful.
The time you get to number five, you're like, wait a minute.
Something's going on.
That's right.
Do I have a kick me on the back of my shirt? Oh, wait, I got a name tag on the front.
Oh, jeez. All right, we've got Kimberly McBroom on the way. We've got your local headlines for Lynchburg, Roanoke, and on the South Side. I'm Janet Rose.
I'm Mark Lamb. CBS News is coming up next. It is almost 8:31, and we're so glad you're here with us on Hump Day.
And currently, we have 46 degrees in Bedford, 47 in Amherst, 48 in Lynchburg, 45 in Danville, 48 in Roanoke, and 52 in Salem. That's the hot spot.
Teased this story earlier. Glad Salty had already called in because he'd be raving about this. liquor shortage impacting Virginia ABC stores.
Well, he's already upset over the chip shortage.
I know. If we take away the liquor, too. And he thinks there's a chip and liquor shortage.
Yeah, but he thought it was potato chips.
Yeah, not the computer chips.
Although that's probably coming.
Yeah, because somebody texted in and said, you know, as Salty was on the phone, they're going, Lay's is here. And then he brought up Lay's. He's camping out apparently over at Lay's.
He's going directly to the source. He doesn't want anything to happen.
He's going to end up like intervening between they literally unload train boxes full of potatoes daily over there.
I'm sure.
It's amazing.
Well,
anyway.
I'm concerned over this one because it'll give him an excuse to start making his own.
Yeah, well, Virginia
a little concerned.
ABC stores are feeling the effect of the liquor shortage that is impacting several other states across the country amid the chain and delivery system problem. We said we wouldn't talk about Corona anymore this show, but that's what's causing it. Anyway, according to the spokesperson, Taylor Thornburg, as of October the 15th, 169 of the 5,200 products at Virginia stores are completely sold out already. Mm. So, and there's a good chance we won't get them back before the holidays. So go buy if you're gifting people with that, or you need Mr. Boston's, you know, for a hot toddy, I'd suggest you get over to the ABC store sooner
rather than later.
Yeah, it says we work from January to September to get ready for October, November, and December. So they do most of the work for these last 3 months of the year.
Tis the season maybe to go dry. Fa la 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 la. La 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 la.
La la la.
Yeah. Oh, no, not if it's dry.
Yeah. Well, they'll be singing on beat then. Mm-hmm. Just like I did with James Taylor a little while ago.
Oh, boy. A World War II veteran from the New River Valley made a special visit to the D-Day Memorial yesterday. Mm-hmm. Walter Sarver is 103 years old, and he served in World War II. He was born in Giles County, enlisted in the Army in 1941 in Roanoke. During his service, he served as a tech sergeant in the anti-aircraft unit in the European Theater of Operations during the war. And his son was also with him. He is a Vietnam War veteran, mm-hmm. Nelson Sarver, and he told folks there that he just felt humbled and honored to be there for his dad, and that he also reflects a lot on the memorial. It's just a beautiful place. During their visit, Sarver and his kids, who served in the Army, mm-hmm. were honored with their own bricks.
Very nice.
It was nice.
Yeah. So Danville, in 1994, let's go back a little bit. Danville had a community center on Green Street. Then it was converted into a police precinct. All right. Now it's being converted back to a community center as of December of this year.
Everything old is new again.
Yeah. The space will be converted back into this community center, and it will be called Peace. It's just simply named Peace. Before the center, you know, was a police station, now it's going to be a place for mentoring young people. There'll also be workspaces there for people to do some homework. There's going to be an Xbox, PlayStation stuff, plus a basketball court. It'll be open to any person in the city, and it'll always have a police presence around it. Those involved say that the most rewarding part of this whole adventure is that people have been able to be part of the planning process, how this thing moves forward, innovating and creating events for this new community center, which was once a community center, but in between was a police precinct. It's pretty cool. I love the fact that a building can, you know, it's just brick and mortar.
Yeah, just kind of morphs into what it needs to be.
But lives can be changed in those situations.
Well, about a half hour ago, Campbell County motorists started getting a real slowdown on parts of U.S. Route 29. If you're in Campbell County, you may need to seek an alternate route because of a vehicle fire. The Department of Transportation says all northbound and southbound lanes are blocked off on U.S. Route 29 near Castle Craig Drive and Route 912. Don't have word on the extent of the delay resulting from the fire at this time. Probably the best thing to do if you're traveling in the area is check out Virginia511.com, and that will can show you kind of the latest conditions of wherever it is you're wanting to go.
So, have you been in Facebook jail much?
You know, I've never been in Facebook jail.
Oh, really?
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised. I thought I might get put in Facebook jail yesterday because they were showing the boat parades. They showed the Trump boat parade.
Yeah, right.
And then they showed the Biden one, which is like all the cargo ships that are kind of like stuck in port.
Right.
But I said that the real one the legal immigrants coming over in the rubber rafts on the Rio Grande.
Yeah.
I thought that might get me bumped.
Well, Janet, don't you know they've been upgraded to first class?
Oh, I didn't.
They're flying them into New York at night.
Oh, well, yeah, we did have that story yesterday.
Mm-hmm. At night. We need a red eye. We need like 10 of them.
They're dumped out by the coyotes, and then they just get right into the thing because they're younger kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Mm. Wally, one of our listeners, faithful listener, sends me stuff all the time.
Right.
Sent me a video yesterday, which is no longer available because Wally's in jail.
I think Wally's been in Facebook jail before.
I think so.
Right.
I think, you know, what do you think we could sneak in, like if we made him a five and dine, like a big cake? What
right.
could we sneak into the jail?
We could sneak in some type of filter that makes him look like a blazing liberal and they'll leave him alone for a while.
Yeah, that's right.
That might work.
Jeez.
That could work.
I haven't been in jail yet.
Huh. Interesting.
But it would be a badge, I guess, worth wearing. I just couldn't show it to anybody for 24 hours or whatever. My brother-in-law, I think I kicked out for a week for posting something.
Well, see, the problem is we just, as Americans, we're just getting worked up over nothing. The White House says we just need to lower our expectations of Joe Biden's America.
Oh.
That's what the Washington Post said. Washington Post says that we just need to lower our expectations instead of getting upset.
So in other words, don't care. Just don't care about
the
country.
Well, you know, inflation, exorbitant food prices,
right.
Bread lines.
Right.
It's kind of retro.
It's kind of retro?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're just supposed to lower your expectations.
It's kind of third world.
You don't like the fact that your shelves are bare in your local store?
Yeah.
Don't throw a fit. Don't be entitled. Lower your expectations.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that's all we needed just to do that.
That message coming directly from the people who make your life worse and are destroying the country. The White House.
I like the boat parade concept. That big one going out on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. Well, Governor, Mayor Pete, he'll always be Mayor Pete. He's not Secretary of nothing. He took 2 weeks off right in the middle of this thing. Anyway, Transportation Secretary. Pete Buttigieg said the reason those boats are sitting out there is because the economy's turned around and Joe Biden is creating jobs. And those people now can go out and spend that money because they got jobs. And that's all the product that they ordered 18 months ago when those ships left. But wait, Joe Biden wasn't president yet when those boats left port, I don't think. Or at least the orders weren't. Do you realize, I'd like to find out supply chain from the time an order is placed with a company in China, how long it takes to get into a container, and then that container gets put onto a boat, and then that boat comes all the way halfway around the world to our shores. How long does that take?
I was reading this article because, you know, Jen Jen was talking about the treadmill, the delayed treadmill. Did you hear her talking about that?
Oh, no. What is she?
So what are you complaining about having a treadmill? Settle down, Karen. What do you want, exercise? You've got Netflix and weed. Shut up.
Well,
go back to your cube. Be happy. Lower your expectations. And if you go outside and you notice Walgreens, for example, is closed and shows the CVS because everything in there has been stolen by thieves who've now been redefined as civil rights protesters, shut up, Karen. It's always been that way.
Wow.
San Francisco, very, very few Walgreens.
Oh, yeah. They closed five of them.
And CVS.
Yeah.
Because they're being looted.
Yeah, because you can
by the civil rights protesters.
Go in there and get up to $900 worth of product and they can't touch you.
Yeah. And let's not forget the mayor of San Francisco says that it's not a problem and says it's really Walgreens' fault.
Yeah,
did you see that?
No.
Mayor Breed says, ultimately, you know, they've made their decision. We've tried to work with them in order to ensure that we're covered in terms of having pharmacies across the city.
Right.
This is going to, of course, impact a lot of neighborhoods, but I wouldn't go as far as to say they can't do business. I mean, they have a lot of stores everywhere. You look almost every corner, you'll see a Walgreens, and some of these stores are not just being closed because of retail theft. They're closing because they're not necessarily bringing in the sales they once did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they don't have any crap to sell. You idiot, because you're letting people rob them blind.
Right.
I don't want to attribute that just completely to retail theft. I don't guess you do, you idiot. What on earth?
Right.
I just feel like I'm living in opposite land. I really am perplexed.
I have to argue with my wife on the air here.
Do
Honey,
you?
It takes a little longer than 2 months. She's basing the ships coming with containers based on something we ordered for our foster child on Wish. You know, that's Wish, you know, where you go and you buy it and
the
you
crooks.
Wish that it would get there in 3 months.
Right.
I just don't know. I just don't know about that.
Yeah.
Babe, we'll discuss this later. After I take a hot shower. Yeah.
Oh, boy, you're just basking in the glow of installing that hot water heater.
I'm still a little bit warm from this morning's shower.
That's great.
It's time for Janet's 5 and Dine on the Morning Jam. Give her 5 minutes, and she'll give you some great inspiration for a delicious meal tonight.
Well, here's something else that's going to warm you up.
Okay.
We've got a creamy enchilada soup that I'm going to be showing you how to make here in just a second. Our 5 and Dine is brought to you by our friends at F&L Market. They're on Memorial Avenue in Lynchburg. They are locally owned. They are family owned. They're an independent grocery store cutting and grinding fresh meats every single day. And special orders, they can take care of that for you. Go by and see them and make sure you tell them that we sent you. You're going to start out making this creamy chicken enchilada soup by melting a little bit of butter in a large stock pot over medium-high heat, and you're going to saute down onion, celery, carrots, bell pepper, and then at the very end, put in some garlic. You don't want to burn that, but you want to get that cooked down really well. Then you're going to add in your spices. 1.5 teaspoon of ground cumin, a tablespoon of chili powder, a teaspoon of dried oregano, and get all that incorporated. Then a 15-ounce diced fire-roasted tomato. The fire-roasted tomatoes are really good in this. I buy a lot of the seasoned tomatoes these days. And then a 1/4 cup of tomato paste. And you're going to get all that mixed in. Then you'll add in your chicken broth and bring everything to a low boil. And boil it for about 15 minutes until the veggies are super tender. Then remove from the heat And using a hand blender, you're going to blend the soup until it's smooth and creamy. So you're not using cream to make this creamy. Mm-hmm. You're actually using the veggies and things to make it creamy, which makes it much better for you. After you do that, you're going to add, you blend that all up. You're going to add in your beans, your corn, and your shredded cooked chicken. I put in kidney beans and black beans.
Okay.
Frozen sweet corn, and then my shredded chicken, and then you're ready to go. Serve it with some perhaps sliced avocados, a little sour cream, maybe some shredded cheese on it.
Oh, yeah.
If you like. It's a good recipe, and it's got like 450 calories.
Okay,
and
that's doable.
34 grams of protein.
Right.
So,
that's a good amount. Yeah.
Check it out by going to our Facebook page, type in Janet's Five and Dine. You'll find this recipe and all the recipes that we share here on The Morning Jam, brought to you by F&L Market, where their meats are a cut above.
Before you fire up the coffee maker, turn on The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
I come from a long line of Southern cooks, and one thing my mama always told me was ingredients matter. That's why I trust the experienced butchers at F&L Market, Lynchburg's only locally and family-owned independent grocery store. Their staff cuts and grinds fresh meats daily and will offer you the personal service you desire for everyday meals or special occasions. This week at F&L Market, get those fall menus ready with beef short ribs, $7.99 a pound, while supplies last. Fresh cabbage is 59 cents a pound. Save on bone-in assorted pork chops, $1.79. Hereford corned beef is $3.99 for a 12-ounce package. Fritos and Cheetos are 2 for $6. Save on Dole bananas, 49 cents. And Smithfield smoked sausage and kielbasa is 2 for $7. Stop by F&L Market today, 2517 Memorial Avenue, Lynchburg. Their meat is a cut above.
Is long. There are mountains in our way, but we climb.
Come on, Janet, sing it with me.
I'm not gonna.
Come on, come on,
please
come on.
Don't ruin your
Come on, let's do it.
Don't
come
do
on.
It. The lift is up where we I sound just like Jennifer Warren there. why are you playing Joe Cocker?
I just wanted to finish today on a good solid note.
Oh.
And love always finds a way, doesn't it?
It does. Well, you know, I am ending it with something I think you're going to be really excited about.
Okay.
And I know my friend Mike Norfield is going to be
very
excited. There may be shortages on some things, but let me tell you something. Little Debbie's delivering.
Yes!
Little Debbie!
I knew I could count on her.
They're releasing. I'm tearing up a little.
Give
They're
her some
releasing.
Tissue. I need my producer in here. We need tissue.
I need it. I do. They're releasing a Christmas tree cake ice cream.
Oh, no.
I know. It's awful.
I didn't even know they got into the ice cream realm.
I think it's new.
Oh, I think it is too.
It's like a 2021 Christmas miracle. That's what it is. The iconic treat, it's one of the few sweets that I am truly tempted by. If someone brings me a Little Debbie Christmas tree cake, I'm eating it.
Yeah.
It's happening.
I'm just letting Woody know over there at Columbus Woodworks, you need to tell Sean. You need to tell Sean.
Okay.
This is going to rock his Wednesday.
It is. It's only going to be around at Christmas time, obviously.
Yeah.
Freezer shelves.
Yeah.
The snack cake brand has confirmed their partnership with Hudsonville Ice Cream.
Wow.
They're bringing Little Debbie's Christmas Tree Cake ice cream to stores starting November 1st.
Yes. I can eat it while I'm watching Yellowstone.
We have had we've had the Christmas tree cakes since 1985.
Right.
Yellow cake layers filled with cream coated with white frosting and decorated like Christmas tree.
Yeah.
That's so great. I'm very, very excited. You be watching and I'll be watching, and we'll get a pint and then we'll have it on the air whenever it's available.
I am all for it. Trust me.
I know.
I am all for it.
We're going to have to factor those calories in, but
we'll do it.
Little Debbie Christmas ice cream treats. Yeah. I'm excited about it.
Oh, my gosh.
I knew. See, that's ending things on a positive note.
Major positive.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, I know. Here is this. You were talking about getting put in Facebook jail.
Yeah.
Apparently, there is a museum. Vienna's tourist board has launched an OnlyFans account because they got banned and censored on Facebook and Instagram.
What did they do?
Well, because they're, 300-year-old pictures of chubby new girls was labeled as pornography.
Oh, well, okay.
So they put all this nasty stuff.
Oh yeah.
On Facebook.
Yeah, yeah, and they're going to go after this.
These women wearing just these fake women with fake boobs right. and implants yep. and butt injections and all right. that. You can see that, but they've banned the museum of the arts.
Wow.
I mean, we're talking about works flagged by Facebook and Instagram include those of old masters painters, mm-hmm. Peter Paul Rubens, right. Flemish Baroque painters,
right.
Australian Expressionist, and they were flagged because they portray nudity, the wow. Vienna Tourist Board said. Ridiculous.
Really?
One is a figurine that they say is like 20,000 years old or something. It's like a stone figure. If you didn't know it was supposed to be a naked person, you would be like, oh, that's a weird, really curvy rock. I don't
right,
know.
Right, sure.
Yeah. All righty. If you would like a subscription to the Vienna Tourism Board OnlyFans, it's $3. So.
Well.
It's so okay. stupid. That's classic Facebook mm-hmm. right there.
Yeah.
You can see all this other trashy stuff. You can hear, OPP and things like that.
Right.
But you can't see a master's oil works of a chubby Renaissance lady.
I'm going to put it out of my mind right now.
Who is, I'm pretty sure, my spirit animal.
Yeah. I'm still basking in the glow of
Little Debbie.
Yeah, Little Debbie Christmas. Wait for it. Little Debbie's ice cream. Amazing, coming to you November 1st.
November 1st.
At participating grocery stores.
I know. We'll be watching for it. I mean,
you made my day there. That's better than the wine.
Could a Swiss roll ice cream be far behind? I don't think so.
It
could be a whole thing.
I think they should do a whole, I'm thinking 24 days.
Zebra cake, ice cream.
An Nutty advent buddy. Calendar.
Nutty Buddy ice cream?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you have to have it frozen. How are you going to keep your advent calendar frozen? How's that going to work?
Well, I mean, I could take things out of the freezer.
I think that's cost prohibitive.
I don't need ice.
No?
I don't need frozen vegetables.
Okay.
I need space for my advent calendar, which is solid ice cream. Little Debbie's ice cream.
Well, we're just going to start with the one.
Holy cow.
But if we're very supportive of that one,
good thing
maybe
I took
they'll
my heart
add
meds.
Others.
Others? Well, that is true. If it's a good response,
right?
They may just delve into it.
This is so much better than when KFC did the fireplace log that smelled like 11 herbs and spices.
Yeah.
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 This is one I can get behind.
Yeah, that you can actually sink your teeth into.
And I don't get excited about sweets very often, right. but that one's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I got to send a copy of this to Norfield.
Mm.
He's going to be excited. All right, guys, have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow. It's Life Hack Thursday.
It is. Yep. I'm one of the life hack is how to consolidate for space in my refrigerator. Let's work on that, okay?
That's right. How many pints can you fit in there? Let's do that math.
Okay, I will. Yeah, make today awesome. We'll see you guys later. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday morning jam.